We're talking with Dr. Brett Carver, of course, our state wheat breeder, Oklahoma State University wheat improvement team at OSU. And Dr. Carver, let's talk a little bit about interesting conversation that you've had that's going to be seen later on OETA on public TV here in the state, maybe beyond that as well. The truth about wheat was what it's called. But one of the parts of the conversation, you got into this idea that there are people out there selling books or whatever they're doing, talking about that wheat's toxic or somehow it's bad for you these days compared to what it used to be.
Yeah, and it's so far from the truth, and that's why we're trying to tell the truth. You know, we've been hearing this, Ron, actually, since September of 2011. That's the first I ever got wind of it, and it really hasn't changed. But one thing is for certain that doesn't change, and those are the facts. This is not a chronic poison that we are producing. This is the same wholesome grain that was being produced 100 years ago and the same wholesome grain that we inherited through evolution domestication of this plant. I just don't understand. I do understand. It's about marketing. It's about money.
And I know the other charge that's out there pretty often is that wheat is somehow addictive. And I know that, you know, they kind of, you know, again, a lot of times point back to the genetics of it.
Well, or they'll go dig deep into the literature and find a study that may not be held up scientifically, but they will hold it up as if it was held scientifically. And they'll use that to frame their argument. And the argument is not scientifically based. It's not fact-based. And one of those studies had to do with looking at the partial digestion products of gluten and how they interacted with certain receptors in our brain. And you know, the one thing they don't mention is that these protein fragments will never make it to our brain. They will not make it through our bodies into our brain to have the effect that they say that they would have. But, you know, again, you know, we're talking about a food and a protein that's very central to our diet, the whole human race, and has been not just for 100 years, but for thousands of years.
Yeah. I guess what within our country, you know, the early wheats that we grew here on the plains were those Russian wheats, that Turkey wheat that came in, and really not much of a different profile today as far as the makeup of that wheat versus today.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, the profile being, you know, the specific types of proteins that make up that gluten. Gluten is kind of a broad word. Gluten is made up of two components, the glutenins and the gliadins, and the gliadins are small molecules, and the glutenins are the big ones. And that profile, that composition of glutens, glutenins and gliadins has not changed, and for good reason. Let's not mess up a good thing. And so much of wheat breeding is more about let's ramp up production, but let's try to maintain the quality composition of that grain because it's so good.
And you're doing that as far as that's a constant conversation I know you have about the milling quality, the baking qualities, just the ability of this wheat to deliver for the consumer.
That's right. We've got to deliver for the farmer, but we also have to deliver for the consumer because it is the consumer that we are actually breeding wheat for. If the consumer doesn't want our product, then the farmer's not going to need to produce it. So really the consumer is right on target for what we want to, who we want to satisfy. And we're going to satisfy that consumer through quality characteristics that have been preserved over time. It takes a little bit of energy to do that because when you go in a wheat breeding world and you work with some of the wildest ancestors of wheat, you introduce things that maybe they don't work as well today in a modern baking society as they would have in 100 years ago. So you're constantly trying to fix that and adjust it. But again, you're not adjusting it with anything new. You're not introducing anything new from, say, you know, another far-out species. You're working with a native variation and tweaking it.